Thanks for tuning in to your Day Off Podcast, hosted by your boys, Corey and Tony.
I think by the end of today, I might have another best friend.
They're committed to making you fall in love with the hair industry, one podcast at a time.
You're going to grab a lot of information.
Yeah, you're going to learn a lot.
Presented by Hairdistry and powered by Schedulicity.
Without further ado, should we do?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it. Your Day Off Podcast will begin after a word from our sponsors.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Introducing Norm Self-Checkout for All. Do you often find yourself in a tizzy with a credit card reader? Or perhaps tiptoeing around tipping etiquette? Maybe even paying scandalously steep card-not-present fees? Norm is here to solve it all. Think of Norm as payment simplified. No card reader for you, no wallet for your client. Instead, patrons pay and tip you straight from their phones. Checkout details are carried through the ether by either a text message or QR code. Your client receives a notification and pays with their previously saved card details. All they have to do is add a grand, luxurious gratuity. And all available with one low rate as a part of Schedulicity Pay. Try Norm Self-Checkout for All. Safe, secure, and shockingly simple. Find out how using Norm can increase tips, speed up payment, and free you from unreliable card readers all at one low rate. Visit paywithnorm.com.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jerry Natuno, CEO and founder of Schedulicity, and we're proud to bring you this amazing podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to your Day Off Podcast, hosted by your boys, Corey and Tony.
I think by the end of today, I might have another best friend.
They're committed to making you fall in love with the hair industry, one podcast at a time.
You're going to grab a lot of information.
Yeah, you're going to learn a lot.
Presented by Hairdistry and powered by Schedulicity.
Without further ado, should we do?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it. Your Day Off Podcast will begin after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, welcome to your Day Off. My name is Corey, and of course, I'm sitting with my best friend Tony. What's up, buddy?
What's happening, brothers?
Nothing, man. I'm excited about today's podcast.
Yeah, you know, it's like one of those podcasts where it validates, confirms that, you know, that there's people like-minded people out there.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's actually kind of a cool conversation because it's like full circle. So our guest today met Nina Tullio from our podcast, and we met her through Nina Tullio. So that's pretty exciting for me.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. That's what I'm saying. So it's, you know, people like her that listens to the podcast that just validates what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Yeah. She, in pre-talk, she was talking about, you know, she started listening to the podcast because she was opening a salon and she was looking for some kind of resource. So she looked to our podcast for resource. But most importantly, she found Nina as a resource from our podcast, which, you know, you guys can't see me, but like I'm smiling with that inner gleam because that's...
Even if they could see you with that beard, they still couldn't see the smile. So it's
all. Yeah, there's no doubt. True story. But it's just, like you said, it validates, you know, why... Validates. I hate to use that word, but you know, it's just really cool. I guess that somebody has used the podcast to help their career and stuff.
Yeah, and you know, because everything that we do and why we do it, and you know, because we do love our industry, and we, yeah, you know what I mean. We do it with genuine, you know, like with the heart of giving and trying to make the industry better. So, and by finding someone that actually found that kind of substance in our podcast, it really just, you know, it makes me just, it feels great, you know.
Yeah, it really does. You know, but again, we're two knuckleheads, and you know, to reach anybody outside of these walls is always still a little weird, you know.
As you can see, I got my finger on this button waiting for you to introduce her.
So should we get in?
Yeah.
So Miss Dom Di Benedetto, welcome to your Day Off.
Hey guys.
Hey, did I nail it?
You did.
Oh, yes.
You
have the pressure on me, man.
I know.
Like you've been saying it for years.
Right. like I was born to say it.
Yeah.
You stepped up.
Pretty intense. Oh,
welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. This is pretty intense. I'm so excited.
Intense. Come on. We're just like old friends, man.
Yeah, but like that's very true. But like I was telling you guys before, like when you listen to these people in the industry that are, you know, have them paved the way for us, and we've been listening to them from them and learning from them, and you know, for the like the past sometimes 15 years, like some of the people that you guys have had on, I've known about for years, that I've taken classes with, and you know, to see what they've done to their career and then be sitting in the same seat that they're sitting in talking to you guys, like that's big. That's a big milestone for me. It's a big milestone, I think, for people who are also listening that are leveling up in their careers or, you know, branching out, doing other things that they're not used to, and, you know, becoming part of the digital world and connecting with all the people that they never thought they'd be able to even talk to.
I'm already digging it. So let's get into your story a little bit. So let's go back. Where are you from? Where did you grow up?
Well, I'm here in, you know, South Florida, Palm Beach County.
Ooh, I'm headed there next week.
Yeah, it's a nice place. It's very hot. I've been here forever. I'm actually originally from Los Angeles, California, though.
You were born in LA?
I was, yeah.
How long before you guys moved to the correct coast?
Now we just lost half our subscriber.
Yeah, well, there's that. I moved here when I was like 11. My parents were in real estate at the time, and you know, Florida was just like exploding.
Right.
And the price point was good for them because my dad wanted to live on the water. And in California, like that was no longer obtainable in the early 90s with the pricing being what it was. So we actually moved to South Florida, and we did move on the water. And I've been here ever since.
I mean, as an 11-year-old, kind of how was that move, you know, to you know, have to reinvent yourself and find new friends? And hey, reinvent yourself. You don't even know who yourself is at 11.
Well, you know, to be completely honest and, you know, to be completely candid, we did move here, you know, for their business move. But both of my parents at the time were struggling with alcoholism. And my dad actually was a drug addict. And my mom was a heavy drinker. And where we lived, that whole side of my mom's family was heavily into substance abuse. And I think my dad wanted to just get out. And we moved 3,000 miles away to get out or to break up those habits.
Did it work?
No.
Were they able to break the habit?
No. Mm. I think when we separated from everyone else doing the same thing, it really exacerbated and highlighted what their issues were. And the drinking got worse and the drugs got worse. And, I mean, things just completely, you know, started to implode from the inside. What's funny about my story is that it's not one of those that is like, oh, well, I lived in a bad neighborhood, or I came from, you know, nothing, you know, I didn't come from like a poor community. But I went to private school. Everything looked great on from the outside. Yeah. But things were happening inside that were just slowly leaking out and imploding. And, you know, things started to like kind of come out like in different ways, like school started to notice things were off. We weren't able to, you know, friends, parents didn't really want us like their kids coming over our house. Just, you know what I mean? Things started to get very, very heavy.
Did you have siblings?
Yeah, it was me and my sister. Both of us grew up really, really, really fast.
Mm.
But the crazy part is it wasn't like nothing around us really changed. Like we still lived in a really nice house. It just, everything on the inside was exploding. Their marriage was very, very rocky. Obviously, you know, they both have, you know, one is drinking, one is doing other things. The marriage was just really rocky, and being, you know, 7 and 12 or 11 or 9 or whatever, we can't leave.
Right.
So you know, we're watching.
You leave. I mean, that's your reality, right? I mean, yeah. It's not, you know, and you can't see another reality outside of that. This is just, well, it's all you know.
Right. School was our escape.
Actually, I understand that. you know, more than you may know. And I also understand like that perfect looking family, but things are tough on the inside.
Yeah. I mean, they were doing a really good job of shattering the perfect look themselves, because they were losing control of that because they were losing control. So them trying to be okay on the outside was, I mean, they were only fooling themselves.
Were they ever able to get the help that they needed?
Yeah. So my mom has been sober now for like 22 years. Awesome. And she's a fucking rock star.
Right. That's awesome.
You know what I mean? She's a CEO of a company that her and my sister own. She's amazing. She worked the program. She still does go to AA meetings, I think. I mean, she's got a really good support. Her and my dad actually did end up splitting up. My dad actually did pass away in 2013 from, you know, just living really hard. And it eventually did keep, you know, catch up with him, and he ended up passing away.
Wow. Woo. I wasn't expecting to go there, man. That's heavy stuff there, Dom.
But you know what though? Like I look back and I'm just, it's a distant memory, but I really do believe like that is what like fires me as like a good leader, a good parent, you know, cause I know what can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can relate to that too. I mean, that's what, like, you know, my dad's passed away too. But he split when we were babies, you know? So growing up, you know, it's funny, as when I became a parent, I knew all the things that I didn't want.
Want to do.
Yeah, exactly. When I might not know how to do it or what I wanted to do, but I knew what I didn't want to do.
I mean, right. For you, it was parent. Just like, be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wake up.
It was a low bar for you. You know, don't leave.
Right.
Oh, that's funny.
That is funny.
I mean, you got to laugh about it.
Yeah.
I mean, we've cried our whole life. Now it's time to laugh.
Yeah. Like now it's sometimes like I joke with my mom about some of these things and I'm like, well, you know, and I do believe that, you know, she's repented and she's shown what she can do. And, you know, having two daughters, like being able to flip it like that. I mean, being able to pivot your entire life and make these huge mistakes in front of your daughters and be able to just be like, damn, look what I did now.
Right.
And that's my role model. You know what I mean? To have somebody go, you know, one end of the spectrum to the other and just turn everything around. Like there's nothing that this woman couldn't do.
You know, that what's interesting about that is that there's so much respect for that, and not just for your mom, but just for that switch. Like I know that Tony and I, we have a good friend, and like when his kids were young, he was kind of a jerk, you know?
Yeah.
And then as, but sometime in his life, he realized that he had to change a little bit, and he changed on a dime. And I have so much respect for that because one, it's just the most humbling kind of like position to be in, to be like, oh, the problems are me, you know? And
right.
then to be able to stop, to slow down, to stop, and then to change direction is absolutely incredible, and nothing but mad respect, and people see that, you know. And I think when you're young or when you're in it, you don't understand that it's actually the 180 degree shift that you're going to make that's most respected, not whatever. I don't know where I was going with that, but
not just, necessarily what they did, but how they pivot from it. Like that goes away. Like yeah, those behaviors, or you know, those, you know, being an addict or being an alcoholic, you know what I mean? Being able to be like, I need to do a lot of work here and I have two kids watching me. So time is also a thing. And I got to show them that you can come back from this.
That's, and I agree. Much respect, and it's beautiful. And congratulations to your mom.
Yeah. Thanks. She's the boss. She's a boss.
That's awesome.
So at what age did you start thinking that you wanted to be a hairdresser?
Oh, God. So, I feel even bad saying it, but this is how it, like, I was supposed to go to like the community college or the state college here, which is like Florida Atlantic University. But my grades were great. You know what I mean? I had more than enough opportunity to go to a good school. But when I got there after high school, I'm like, this blows. I'm bored as fuck. I'm going to slide by this. I'm probably going to cheat. I'm not working with my hands. I'm not doing anything artistic. I'm not going to end up going to law school because I don't have the money for that, nor do I have the attention span. So I'm like, I got to get out of here. I was telling my parents that I was going to college every day, but I really was waking up and like not going. So I ended up actually, you know, coming clean and telling them like, hey, listen, like, don't pay for this. Cause this is just, everything's going to be an incomplete. I quit that, went back to, you know, working in restaurants, which I grew up doing, you know, waiting tables, whatever, basically doing nothing. And my parents just like sat me down one day and they were like, listen, you're not going to be able to live here. Well, my mom said that you're not going to be able to live here and just wait tables. Like, you got to go somewhere. You got to do something. So like the next day I went to the community colleges and was like, oh, beauty school. I'll just do that.
So that there wasn't like any drive or anything. You're like, nah, that seems like an easy thing to do.
Correct. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I always liked, you know, beauty and fashion and stuff like that. I was like I was 18, you know, of course I liked that kind of stuff, but like also it was like cheap and my parents refused to pay for anything at the community college because I already wasted money at this college. So I had a credit card when I was 18 and I just maxed it out for $5,000 to this local beauty school here.
So was it a beauty school or was it like a community college
class? Community college with a vocational side. Gotcha. Right. Like they offered cosmetology. But I went there and it was amazing. Like a light bulb went off.
So like from day one, were you like, oh, this is it? Or was it like, yeah, or took you a little bit of time?
No, like I got there and I was like, oh, this is awesome. I even liked what was in the textbook. I couldn't believe it. It had my attention. It was like the first time my mom said to me, like on the fourth day was like, wow, you got up before your alarm.
Oh, wow. Mm.
I was like, yeah, I did.
It's cool. Like how, when you know, it's kind of like when you find your people, you find, you know, the industry, yeah, you're like, this is where I belong, you know?
Yeah, I was like, wow, I'm going to do this and I'm going to be the best.
Yeah. Wow.
That is awesome.
It's so interesting to me how this is such a common thread, you know, through our podcast. It's like our industry, you know, I mean, even us, you know, what would we be doing? I mean, you ever think about what you'd be doing if you weren't doing hair?
Right.
No, I don't know.
Right, exactly. I know that.
No idea.
I know what I would be doing.
What?
Staying home dad.
Touche.
It's a good gig. I know a guy.
Yeah. I need to buddy up with him.
I know.
Yeah, I bet you would.
We're envious of that guy.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
So
you were fired up, huh? So you went into school and you got like all fired up?
I was like a machine. It was like, I loved it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to make a lot of money. And my parents, like even telling them that I was going to beauty school. That's what they called it. Or, what are you going to do, Dom? You're just going to be a hairdresser. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And they're like, well, you know, you're going to just, good luck to you. Cause you're going to work like a dog the rest of your life. Like it wasn't, there wasn't encouragement there. There was not, especially from my dad. He was like, oh, this is pathetic. And,
you think he was embarrassed by your choice?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They both were a little bit. My mom didn't really say much, but he definitely was very, like vocal about, oh my God, this is a nightmare. Like, this is what you're going to do with yourself. Do you not? Because at the time, you know, at that time in the early 2000s, like even in the late 90s, like hairdressers are not, we still don't get the respect that our industry really deserves. We didn't hear about, my parents didn't hear about, you know, hairdressers bringing in six figures. That was unheard of.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah, no, like I got to do something. I'm going to make six figures by the time I'm 25. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show them.
That kind of determination and that kind of, you know what I mean? Focus, that's, especially at that young, I mean, I think anything's possible in our industry, but to have that kind of laser focus at that young age is, you know, to me, cause I know I didn't have, I was just loved doing hair. I didn't really have like that kind of monetary goal initially in the beginning, but But if you do, being young, I mean, I mean, to you.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong though. Early 20s were, you know, early 20s.
Yeah.
Right. I was fired a couple of times. I came into work hungover. I, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have the drive yet. I had the license after I graduated, you know what I mean? But I didn't have like a plan.
Right.
You know, I always said I would love to be my own boss one day, but I, at that point, didn't know like how that was going to work.
It was it more like I want to be my own boss, or I just don't want to work for somebody? Because I think that we say we want to be our own boss, but it's really like I don't want to work for somebody.
I think it was probably both.
Yeah.
But I do know that I needed mentorship. Right. I needed structure. I needed polish. I mean, yeah, you can do hair all day, but there's so much more that goes into it to make yourself stand out in a community where there's nothing but competition always, everywhere.
How long did it take you to get out of beauty school?
12 months.
Okay. So.
10 months. 10 months. I'm sorry. It was a 10-month program, 5 days a week, 9:30 to 3:30. 1,200 hours in South Florida, in Florida.
In Florida.
Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, they had different options of what you can do. But I did the Monday through Friday gig, 9:30 to 3:30. So getting it done was pretty easy. I mean, I worked at night as in a restaurant waiting tables. I would live with my mom at the time. So it wasn't like I had, you know, big rents to pay, or, you know, I wasn't a single mom, or, you know, I was just kind of floundering.
Right.
You know, taking my sweet time. But then around 24, I started to realize when I started to think that I was actually pretty good at this, that I'm like, something happened. I don't know what it was, but it was like, okay, this is my career. Like, I have to start treating it with a little bit more respect. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started really, like, I guess, wanting to be there for my client, you know, being present, showing up early, you know, taking whatever I could get, you know, taking every walk-in, taking anything anyone would throw at me, and just learn as much as I could and just be the best employee I could. So even if I worked at someone else's salon, like, I gave over 120%, like it was my own. And I think that is what changed the game for me.
It definitely is, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Once you get into the say yes mentality, and not like, I don't have time for that. You know, once you get to say yes mentality, that opens up different opportunities and different doors.
Yeah. Or once I got out of my own way and was like, I need to take everything that I can get, learn everything I can, make every mistake I possibly can right now, because in 5 years from now, I'm not going to be able to make those mistakes.
Right.
Right.
You know, it's funny. You said that, you know, you want to respect your career, but really, really what you were saying was, I need to respect myself.
Absolutely. You know, there's always like, you know, that negative talk in your head of, you know, what you grew up around, or what, you know, those voices like, you know, that's a stupid career. You're never going to make any money. Who makes money doing that? And I still hear people say that today, you know, and it is my job to school them, because I'll be like, here's my tax return.
Eat it. Nice. Eat it.
Yeah.
Love it. Oh my gosh. She's talking like she could have we could be her stay at home dad.
Right.
Yeah, I get, like I said, I know a guy.
That's so funny. So when did you, so you were working for somebody, when did you start to get into like, you know, I want to get into like salon owner.
So I went to a couple of salons, and I kind of, like you said earlier, like, you learned how to parent by learning what not to do, right?
Right.
So I learned how to salon when I go into all these salons of what not to do. I was around owners, not leaders. I had a boss, not a leader. They worked me like a dog, and they worked me like a machine. So it was like almost, I got punished for being really good, because I was able to, you know, pivot. I was able to double book. I was able to be really fast. I had the gift of gab. I had the personality. So I had like, they had this like, you know, really good asset here, but it was like, okay, we'll make her take everyone that nobody else wants to take. We'll make her do all the redos. We won't pay her for them. We'll make her work all the schedules. We won't let her have any time off, because we needed to have these people done. So I learned like, okay, this is not normal. And then I was like, okay, I want to be a leader one day, but I just don't have the experience to do that, because I've never been around a true leader. So I decided at that point, all right, I'm going to go into a sola and I need to learn how to run a business. If I can govern myself and be disciplined with myself, I know that I can do this again. I know that I can do it one day. I don't know when, but I'm going to go run a business in a sola. I'm going to learn how to run a chair. I'm going to learn how to buy color and make it profitable. I'm going to learn. And I eventually did that after I left my first I left a commission salon, and then I went to renting a chair. And I learned real fast that you need to learn consumer math to do that. And then solas were popping up. We had one sola come up in our area. I called the lady, and I went for my first tour, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to sink or swim here.
Wow.
And then I signed the lease, and I signed on a large double so I could double book, triple book.
Oh, wow.
So that rent was like $700-something a week.
But I had
the book.
Right.
But like
from your first salon, when you went to go rent the chair, did most of your clients follow you to that?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're pretty confident then, you know, that your clients were going to follow you to solo.
Yes. I was really open with them always. Like, this isn't our last stop.
Right.
This is just, we're going to just stay here for a while. So just let me figure it out. I don't know where we're going, but we're going to end up somewhere else.
So when you left the salon to rent a chair, how did that conversation, because, you know, we have a lot of listeners that are going to, you know, thinking about doing this. You know, what was that conversation with the salon owner, or did you have one, or did you put in your 2 weeks and leave, or?
So at that time, there was none of that. You cannot tell a salon owner that you're leaving. Like, there is, at that point in time where we were, I think, in the salon culture and the salon times, we were not allowed to really do that. It was unheard of. I mean, I knew that, okay, I need to get all of their information. Obviously, in a salon, if you guys have ever worked in an area, that computer is like a vault. You know what I mean? Like, you ain't touching it. You ain't going near it. The only person that sits at that desk is the receptionist. No one's getting a number, nothing. But what was coming out at the time, which was like early 2009, Facebook was born. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to friend every single person that sits in my chair on Facebook. No one can stop me from that. I was way ahead of them. My owner at the time didn't even thought Facebook and social media was dumb. I was like, no, it ain't, bro. I was like, okay, you just keep. And I kept telling him, like, hey, we need to do this. We need to get on board with this. This right. is going to do something. That was like when the first generation iPhone had came out. So they were starting to intermix. So now here I have this phone. I have this platform. I'm going to marry this platform. I don't need your front desk.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Now I have people change their phone numbers. People change their houses. They change that, but they do not change their email addresses.
Mm-mm.
I have the same one since I was 12. AOL, baby.
AOL. AOL, AOL, baby.
Yeah. Taliana 2020. You know what I mean?
Everyone hit her up.
Yeah. Don't even know the password. Good luck to you. But again, just making those connections. Now, that could, I think, maybe be part of the millennial in me,
mm-hmm.
where now every one of my coworkers at the time are boomers, and they didn't even see this stuff coming. But those college students did. My clients that were young were in college and had Facebook. So now I made the connection. So I started just friending, like, now these, you know, some of my clients that were older, they're on Facebook because they want to see their grandkids.
Right.
So I'm like, now I'm enrolling them, like, hey, are you on Facebook? Yeah, friend me. They knew my first and last name. They friended me. So it wasn't like I did anything shysty.
Well, it's not shysty anyways. I mean, I think right. it's kind of, you know, speaking, I think it's kind of shysty that a salon wants to take advantage of your career. You know, I mean,
oh, well, they would, but I think that's different right. now.
I to say that you didn't do anything shysty. I don't think you did anything shysty anyways. I mean, you know, we have always been in the social media business, right? 50 years ago, we were in the social media business, you know, so yes. it's just how it's evolved.
Right. And how we share. and how we connect. So with that being said, so I had all these people on Facebook. So when I told the owner, like, I would love to give you a 2 weeks if you would let me, you know, I didn't want to burn a bridge that, I mean, immediately it was like, get your stuff and get out.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was prepared. I mean, half of my stuff was already in the car because I knew it was going to take me long. And I was kind of like almost embarrassed around my coworkers. Like I didn't want them to see me cleaning out my stuff or, you know what I mean? Like it just causes a rift in
the day. Walk of shame, right? It's the walk of shame when you're walking out of the salon.
You're walking a shame for doing something else with your career.
Right.
You know,
and they should be excited and, you know, that they help build you and it's this phenomenal stylist. And now you're ready to take on the next thing. Yeah. In your career. And so they should take pride in that instead of taking it personal and being upset.
I think too, like that kind of like scarcity mentality is also, you were never this person that was supposed to be better. What you were was a paycheck for them.
Yeah. Right. You know, like, and I get that. And when you leave and they treat you like that, that just shows that you are the paycheck.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because they weren't like, hey, wow, congrats. You know what I mean? It was cool though. Like I was like, wow, I'm going to do this. So I just, you know, get in my car after I was just basically like kind of fired, but, hey everyone, I'm going to be renting a chair at so-and-so, comment on this post if you are interested in booking another hair appointment post. Boom, 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 done.
Wow.
Anyone that had an appointment with me tomorrow, your appointment still stands. Just come to this address. Done. Wow. My day went on as normal the next day.
Wow. How long were you in that chair before you went to Sola?
10 months.
Oh, 10 months and they had ownership like that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like, I'm so happy that the mentality of that is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not gone all the way, but I think it's for the most part gone. I own a salon and if one of them wants to leave, how can I help you?
Right. That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
And when you give them, hold on. So like if I work for you, I want to back up and then speed back up.
Yeah,
if I work for you, like, would you like, you'll give me all my color formulas. You'll give me all that kind of stuff. You'll just print me out a report.
My staff has access to their schedule and every single person in it. Wow. And they're all friends with them on Instagram and Facebook. I mean, they don't even really need me.
Yeah.
Right.
But yes, if they wanted it, I would.
Yeah. I mean, it's just about creating friction where you can. Right.
Like I would be like, you know, I had one leave one time. I had one leave for a salon suite and I was like, you know, hey, let me help you. You need to incorporate yourself. You need to go to this website. I'll give you the reps numbers. If you want to continue using this, that, and the other, like I have nothing to be threatened about.
Do you also recommend that they hire Nina Tullio?
Yes.
Of course.
No, she's my secret weapon. No.
Right. Was before this podcast.
Right. So you went to your Sola.
Yeah.
Right. How long were you there?
4 years.
Nice. So you Sola said
was great.
Well, at $700 a week, it better have been.
Well, I mean, yeah, I learned a lot. I mean, I also, I hired, and I even went on, I took the risk and hired a full-time assistant.
Wow.
Cause so, I know that I needed to work efficiently.
Yeah. So what was your weekly expense then between rent and between the assistant?
So this is before Nina day. So I have no idea, but it was a lot. So I paid the assistant $12 an hour and she worked with me like 40 hours a week. We worked a lot. Mm-hmm. My color orders were I actually do remember 1 year in Sola, my supply cost was $47,000.
Holy cow.
And my rent was $25,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. There's $70,000 just like that. Boom.
Done. But gone.
Right. And that doesn't include your assistant, right?
Oh, nope. That was another 24.
So you had $100,000. You had $100,000 in expenses right there, right?
Right.
Mm. Dang.
But what? To know that I did it, could do it, and I profited. I mean, I didn't probably spend it the proper way, like with supplies. You know what I mean? Right. I probably didn't do the best inventory, so I probably would double spend or you know, and I'm a spontaneous spender as it is. I'm a tool and product whore. So, you know, I'm going to buy whatever I see on the shelf that it says new, you know, but I was still able to live a really comfortable lifestyle with even those numbers, but because of the volume that I was doing and because of, I mean, my hour, I was the first one in that building and the last one to leave. And I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, but that's how I worked.
Right.
Because I needed to build this financial momentum for myself.
When did you, I mean, 4 years. I mean, you, that's, you know, because we've been, I've been at this, the salon suite that I'm at now for, I guess, 7 years, mm-hmm. you know. But I don't, inside me, I don't, you know, I'm totally content and comfortable where I'm at. I never right. had the desire to open up a salon. I did in earlier, in my career, but I don't have it right now. But when you went into Sola, was it always in you that I wanted a salon at one point and I'm going to learn how to run my business first?
Yeah. I mean, I have a few questions about that. Like one, you mentioned that, you know, you were looking for your culture, right? Like you were trying to find a spot for your culture. So, and then you also said when you did the solar, before you went to the solar, you were looking for some kind of leadership. So I guess my two questions are, when you, did you have like what your culture was going to be in mind and how you could create that culture for other people when you started your salon, one? And then two, it's a totally different beast of being in a salon by yourself or with one assistant than to be like a leadership of a team.
Well, I figured at this point, like it had been so long where I just kind of gave up on the fact that I was going to get leadership. So I was like, I got to figure this out on my own. So I was like, all right, I'm leaving. And then I went into a Sola and it was like, there was two reasons why I thought to open my salon. It always was just like a dream of mine. Like, wow, I would love to have this beautiful place and have everybody create amazing work and just make a lot of money and just turn out good hair with an amazing culture, with everyone laughing, listening to music blasting, like it. Cause there are some times when you work in salons, when those days happen, right. Even at the shittiest salon that happens because right. it's the energy, it's the synergy of the client, the salon, the laughter, just that camaraderie.
Yes.
So I got to see glimpses of that and I loved it. I'm like, why can't we have this every day? Why does all this other bullshit have to come in? You know what I mean? So when you take all that away, that there, it can happen. So how do I build this, you know, how do I make that culture? So I had to really work on, you know, my own skill and, you know, how to run a business to be able to focus on those things. I didn't even know really I knew that I wanted that, but I didn't even know what a salon culture was until I started listening to like podcasts like yours or meeting people like Nina, like having those things in mind before you start having that game plan. You know what I mean?
Right.
One of the reasons that really like catapulted me to want to do a salon is because in 2016, I had my son and I couldn't work like that anymore. So now I'm here with this book and this demand that I can't fulfill. So I'm like, okay, I have to do one of two things. I either need to literally raise my prices to the point where half my book falls off and I get new guests that want to pay these exorbitant amount of prices, or do I open a team, offset some of my book, build others, and maybe eventually step back behind the chair and leverage this book out a little bit. I need help either way. And then I didn't want to lose my clients because I love them. And I didn't want to, you know, go from, you know, a $55 haircut to $125 haircut. It doesn't make sense. So that's when I kind of got this spark to be like, okay, I need help.
Well, I mean, there's a million salon owners out there right now saying like, oh, you're looking for more time or more, you know, energy for your son and I'm going to open a salon. That sounds completely counterintuitive.
Yeah, it does. But I figured, I said one day that would eventually help me step back. I knew in the first 5 to 10 that the first 5 years I wouldn't, but having my clients come and, you know, be able to go with some of my amazing staff members and get in when they need to get in and have a schedule that's more accessible has been a lot of stress off of me as well. So in that regard, I don't feel so bad about taking a day off every once in a while, where before I never would, because if I took one day off, it would just domino affect my next week. So now I don't really have that problem. And I know that if I needed one of them to take them, they could do it.
Right.
Because, you know, kids get sick. I get sick. You know what I mean? I can't, I'm not a machine. And I started to realize that when I was in my solo for at the end, when I was like, oh my God, I can't do this anymore. I'm physically ill. Like I'm physically getting ill from working so hard.
So when did you open up your salon?
May of 2019.
Oh, snap. So you've been open for, 2 years, but really just 1 year.
Yeah. The Rona.
The Rona.
He came in and just tried to mess everything up.
Well, actually you're in Florida though. So you weren't closed that long.
No. It's a different world here.
Right. So you guys were open for, you guys were closed from like March till May?
Like 8 weeks. Yeah. Yeah. I had just had my second son when we closed. My son was 2 weeks old when that happened.
Oh, so that was kind of that kind of worked out.
Yeah. I'm not mad at it.
Hey, when's his birthday?
February 19th.
Oh, word. I'm the 24th.
Oh, nice.
So, I don't know if he's a Pisces. He's not a Pisces, he's Aquarius.
I don't know what he is.
Yeah, he's an Aquarius, I think he's a 20th. Yeah. So you'd only been, you've been open for less than a year, and then, you know, then you're shut down for like 8 weeks and stuff. It'd be almost impossible to prepare for an 8 week shutdown a year into a business.
Yeah. It's a whole quarter.
Yeah, no doubt.
But this is the only, so when people say, you know, how do you come back from that? How do you come back from that? Or how do salons as a whole come back from that? So the thing is like what I've had my best couple of months there after COVID I've ever seen. And I attribute that because it wasn't one of those situations where we lost clients because they didn't want to come. We lost clients because they couldn't come. And then we're at a place where these, when we do open, we are that only errand. So they got money to spend and they got money to burn. So when I came back June, I mean, I had never seen, I mean, my salon is only 800 square feet. And at the time I only had 4 service providers, including myself. And we turned out a $70,000 month.
Wow.
Wow.
High five on that one.
Yeah, for real. But when you got back in June, were you working like you were in the solo? Like, you know, just grinding it out?
Hell yeah. I needed to make up for a lot of things. I'm like, oh, we got to make up for those numbers. We got to make up for that quarter.
Did you do anything during the 8 weeks that you were off to try to like, to try to keep some kind of income coming?
I tried to do retail from home, but then I just got lazy.
Right.
I was like, I'm no one's coming to my house. I'm not driving anywhere. I barely even get dressed. Fuck this. Get on Amazon. I'm tired. I don't even want to see anybody because I barely even brushed my hair for 8 weeks.
Right. Oh, that's hilarious. She's got just had a baby, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, leave me alone.
She's got dreadlocks in June.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I didn't. I wanted to be like, I mean, I was like everybody else. And I had said to everybody, even my staff, I was like, you know, before the 8 week shutdown, it was like Christmas, right? So it was, you know, December. You know, we had Christmas, January, we were open, February, whatever. And they were in a season where we are. So they were all exhausted and they were all taking my clients because I was on maternity leave.
Right.
So they were all like overworked, like 100%, no doubt. So I was like, listen, everybody wanted a vacation. Here it is. Enjoy.
Right.
Work out, eat, go drink, do all the things that you wanted to do. You got 8 weeks. We're going to open back up and then we're going to hit it hard. And they were agreed. We needed that reset.
But when you reopened, were you guys open 100% or was it like 50%? Was it?
No, we were open 100%, but we didn't do full capacity. So like we wouldn't double book. I took the waiting room out of the salon. Like we spread the chairs out and all that. And we started onboarding, like it's small. So we had to just, you know, we separated each other out and it was just like one at a time. And they'd called before they get in, you know what I mean? Just those, right. Those protocols. But then as time went on and restrictions eased up, we were like, I mean, I could not double book. I was losing my shit.
Yeah. Right.
I can't operate like that.
I feel you.
Yeah. I am not one of them. I'm not one of those. There's nothing wrong with that, but I cannot.
All right. I'm going to slow you down a little bit, Dom, because I have a couple questions. So it's a retread of a question I asked earlier. So what was the leadership learned? Like now you're head of the class, right? Now, mm-hmm. now, instead of looking at the front of the salon, you're looking at the back of the salon and a bunch of faces looking back at you. So what's been your experience with that? Have you done any like specific leadership type things? What have you learned about leadership and where did you learn it?
So, again, like reading a lot of, I started reading like a lot of like self-help books, and I started looking at myself because, you know, I'm reactive. I have a temper. I'm, you know, controlling, you know what I mean? So I needed to chill that out. I needed to, when I started realizing that this was going to actually happen and I started having employees, I noticed that I needed to actually really take, look at and evaluate me. But I wanted to show people that they can make mistakes without worry, that I expect them to mess up sometimes. And when they do, that's when the growth happens. I want them to feel safe. So I want them to do what they need to do, but I'm always there just in the background watching and waiting to help.
You do not, hold on, your personality type does not seem like one that's going to be in the background waiting.
That's why I have to learn to take a step back. You know what I mean? They teach me a lot. I started having a coach. She really helped Nina, really helped me understand how to lead a team.
When did you meet Nina?
I was driving back from some Disney trip and you guys are on, I was listening to your podcast and she was on, and I swear to God, I almost like swerved on the side of the road because I needed to take this woman's information down.
Wow.
I was like, this is her. This is who I need to talk to. Everything that came out of her mouth, I'm like, yes, 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 yes. And I knew that I needed to do it fast because my salon was opening in less than 2 months. And I knew that with all the things that I had put in place, I still didn't feel 100% about some of the policies and the things that I was deciding. I even felt like this is still not right. I need help.
Did Nina give you like systems and stuff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When we had our call, we talked. She sent me templates. I started in her owner's group, that gave me videos, templates, systems, things that just being behind the chair doesn't give you. So like somebody did all this work, and now because she has experience being a leader, she was a salon owner. You know what I mean? She's done it and she was successful. And to have these templates and to have these systems there for you, it was just such a relief to know like, okay, somebody else has got my back. Like I have my teams, now somebody's got mine, because my team comes to me with issues, but sometimes I need someone to go to with issues.
If you don't have answers, like if I'm on your team and they're like, hey, Dom, X, Y, Z, and you don't have the answer, do you reach out to Nina, or do you look within her program to see if she has something?
Both. Yeah. But a lot of times I will like message her and be like, hey, you know, I'll bounce something off of her. Like, hey, so this happened. What do you think about this? You know, and she'll like, okay, well, you need to sit on it. You know, look at all of the scenarios here. Take a break. Don't answer the next day. Like just pause. You know, and that's really helped me because, you know, when you are doing it by yourself, you feel like you have to take care of everything right at that minute.
And you said you're a reactionary person too. So you want to respond immediately. So by you pausing, that probably takes great strength to not react.
Hard. And sometimes I don't, and I have to come back and apologize that I didn't.
Are you, do you use this for at home too?
I try.
She had a little snicker there. Did you see that? I try.
I try.
Being a leader in a salon, do you think that you're a better mom, a better wife?
Yeah, because it teaches you patience all the time. Like when I also look to my husband though, because he is very patient. Obviously he's married to me. He's really patient. He's really good at looking things, you know, over. So sometimes he gives me advice and I take that from him, and I try to take it from the places that I respect the most, you know? But I think as a salon owner, even a hairstylist, like everyone needs help at some point. And, you know, with owners struggling the way they are right now, even with this, what we've been presented with, like there are so many resources out there, just like you guys and just like people like Nina, or there's different coaches out there that fit your vibe. And my advice is like, invest in yourself and take advantage of those things. It will never be money wasted.
Well, I was going to say that earlier. I mean, listen, I have no idea what Nina charged. I have no idea what you're paying Nina.
Worth every minute, worth every penny.
Well, I was going to say, but it's probably like priceless, right? I mean, just for you to have somebody to bounce ideas off of, you know, even just by you going, okay, let me consult with Nina. Like that gives you that little bit of pause, right? That gives you that little bit of pause where, okay, I'm looking for the right answer. I'm not looking for a answer.
Right. And you have like, okay, you have like almost like a fallback, like someone that you can kind of just lean back and trust a little bit that knows that they have, and they, you know, that they have your best interest at heart.
Yeah.
As well as your team's, but yours.
Mm-hmm. It takes, you know, a little pressure off.
Huge. Exactly. That's the word I was looking for, like more of a pressure. And, you know, people ask, even salon owners in my area, like, hey, how did you build this team? How did you find this person? And, you know, just having me able to say to them, like, listen, you need, I'm not qualified to coach you, but you need to go talk to this person. Or here's a podcast to listen to. Cause some people don't even know that you got like these kind of things are out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised how many people, really don't know about podcasts.
Yeah.
I don't, I mean, maybe because we're in it or we're like in that kind of, world, we don't really see anything else at all outside of it anymore.
I mean, it's definitely changed. I mean, like even like when we started this in 2018, like I remember having conversations with potential guests, and a lot of our guests didn't even know what a podcast was. I kind of had to explain, oh, well, podcast, you know, I had to explain what a podcast was. I mean, we don't have those conversations, you know, much anymore.
Right.
But you know, and that's only been a few years here, but yeah, you know, things are changing, but you know, who knows where we are in another 3 years. Right.
I mean, I think this is the most amazing thing to connect people with whatever industry that you're in. You know, yeah, every industry has them. I feel like ours has been just like explosive with all the content out there. Yeah. So I think that if you are looking for some kind of like every vibe is out there, whatever leader you are in a salon or even whatever industry you are, you will find your tribe with a podcast, no doubt.
Yeah, and you're talking about, you know, leadership and even other industries. Did you get a chance to listen to the Adam Bradley's podcast about leadership?
Was he the one that had the steps?
Yeah, yeah, he had the teams.
Yes.
We really
I mean, the Adam one. Yeah, talk about leadership. I mean, to me, we've gotten so much love from that podcast about leadership because it's all, I mean, it's all about team. You know what I mean?
It's
all about,
like, there's no, I mean, when you have a salon and you have creative minds, like it's everyone is thinking something different all the time. And that's what makes a great team, is having different assets from each person, you know, but the secret sauce is basically getting everyone on that same mindset.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, when you walk away and everyone's turned out amazing work, is happy, is financially secure, like there's nothing more as a, like a, as a boss or a leader that I could want from them. You know, I think now salons are saloning differently. People are looking for more of a structured environment. People are looking for what can we give these people? What are we bringing to the table to these potential hairstylists, and what are these hairdressers bringing to us? We're like vetting each other now.
Yeah.
More salons are looking for paid vacations, education incentives, 401ks, insurance. These are what these people want now.
Do you offer a lot of those?
Yes.
Oh, she wouldn't have brought them up if she didn't offer them, Tony. Come on.
I had to ask.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yes.
She's like, yeah, this is what they're looking for. We ain't offering that.
I'm not doing that, but that's what I would look for if I was looking for a job.
Exactly.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Well, first off, you know, I guess earlier I'm gonna forget that. So take me to like one of your like staff meetings. You have staff meetings?
We do, yeah.
How often?
Oh, I try to do it once a month.
Yeah. And so what does that look like? Like I know not every staff meeting, but I know that a lot of the staff meetings that I've been in ends up either being a bitch session or one person dominates the time. So what are you doing in your staff meetings?
So what we do is like, lately I've been trying not to do them in the salon.
Ooh.
Okay. So the last one we went to breakfast and we got a nice outside.
How big is your staff? Just to kind of paint the picture.
Like 10.
So there's 10 people from you to like your first day assistant. There's 10 of you.
Right. Right. Like eight. I think that meeting was like eight. And I encourage them to bring their kids because it's their day off. You know what I mean? Like I want it to be where it's good for them. You know what I mean? So I wanted to take it out of the salon. We went to a restaurant. It was outside. We all had breakfast and we eat first and, you know, joke around or whatever. I also did our last meeting. I printed out an outline of what the meeting was going to be like. So just bullet points of what we were going to talk about and just stuff to keep us on track, to keep it quick and efficient. And we would go down those bullet points after I would make a bullet point. I'd be like, does anybody have any questions? Anyone want to suggest anything about this? And it's usually like an open forum. At the end of the meeting, I will say, you know, is there anything, and I'll make them do it out loud, or if they want to, I give them the option. If there's anything that you think I need to improve on, you can say it now or sidebar me after this meeting.
That's great, being able to be open like that.
If there's anything that is bothering you, please let me know right now or sidebar me. This is your time and this is our time to discuss it.
So, I mean, you discuss it in an open forum?
Sometimes, yeah, if they feel comfortable. Because sometimes I say it because you never know if the other person's thinking the same thing.
Right. No. I mean, I understand that that's the goal of it. But, you know, a lot of times when you're actually sitting in that situation, are you going to bring it up? You know, there's been many times where you're like, I've bit my tongue.
They do. They absolutely do. Especially like, because, you know, with this whole COVID thing, like with the masks on and the masks off, how do we, you know what I mean? Like that was a big one for a while. And when our governor removed the mask mandate, I knew that was going to be, you know, rocky for a couple of them. And it was, and, you know, we were able to kind of find like, hey, listen, if you want to wear yours, that's fine. We'll, you know, for the first 2 months, if the client wants us to wear it, we will like text them and ask them before their appointment. So we don't have to have those weird conversations when they come in and right. No one feels like pressured. And that really worked. And, you know, everybody was able to voice their opinion of, you know, how they felt safe or unsafe. And we were able to kind of find a solution. Without that round table, we wouldn't have been able to do it. Everybody would have kind of been just awkward.
Mm. Yeah. That's what volumes of, you know, like they trust you. Obviously they feel that they can be open, or they can, you know, say something without you judging them
or reacting
to what they have to say.
I mean, there have been times where I've like gripped the chair, you know, where I'm just like,
but listen, gripping the chair isn't the thing, you know, it's like, it's not blowing up in their face, because what Tony said is so true is that at the end of the day, it all comes down to trust, right? It's trust that you're going to be there for them. It's trust that you're not going to kirk out. It's trust that it's not going to be an uncomfortable situation, because nobody wants to be in an uncomfortable situation.
And you're going to listen to and hear what they're saying. Not necessarily.
Right. But sometimes like I have to trust them. You know what I mean? There is those times where I have to lean on them for some things. And I'm like, they got it. Like, chill out, Dom. Like you've taught them and they know what to do. Like, stop. You know what I mean? Like, don't push.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I know that I'm not the only leader that feels that way. Right. I might be the one that says it, but you know, I definitely, and not every day is rainbows, but I would have to say that most of what I've created is pretty awesome environment being at work. And even with everything that has been thrown at us the past couple of years, and I know that there, just from what I've been watching and reading, like there's a lot of salons out there that are struggling to find their happy medium or their tribe or their momentum again. And You know, my advice to them is, you know, just do your, you know, do yourself, invest in yourself and, you know, get help, find a coach, listen to podcasts, you know, read self-help books, reevaluate the situation and look at yourself in the mirror. Like, are you being the best that you can be for these people? Because they, most people do want a leader.
Right. If I say the word culture, what's that mean to you?
It's everything.
How is
non-negotiable.
And when you've set up your salon, what was important as far as the culture that you brought in?
That everyone can, that being a team, like being a team player is non-negotiable. Like if you aren't willing to, you know, pick up for somebody else and, you know, pass the torch to them or to them pass the torch to you, or you behind them, like you're going to show up for your person. Like if you can't do that, then you cannot work with me. You cannot.
Have you had to fire anyone?
No.
Awesome. Do you have these conversations when you hire someone?
Yeah. Hire slow, fire fast. It takes a long time. Like when I, like people also like, we operate sometimes as owners is that we operate out of fear. Like, oh, we need people. We need to get money. You know what I mean? But if you like, I talk to them on the phone first, or if like I'm vetting a stylist, I look at their work on Instagram to see if they have social media presence. We have a phone conversation. We might have another phone conversation. They'll come in, hang out with the team a little bit, observe, talk to them, see how we work, of our flow, how it goes, you know, kind of just sit there and observe. They might do that twice. That could happen over like a 3 or 4 week period. So we know A, if the person wants to be there, B, we know like how the other people pick up the vibe. Because I even tell them like, you have to fit with us as we have to fit with you. So you might come in here and be like, I don't want to do this. I'm out. Bye.
And what, and have you had people come in and your staff's like, Dom, I wasn't really feeling it.
Yep. Absolutely. And sometimes I've made the mistake. This is recent. I made the mistake of bringing somebody on that I thought was going to be a good addition. And all of them said, Dominique, I think you should really think about this. And I did it anyway. And they were right.
Is that person on your staff anymore?
What?
Is that person on your staff anymore? I hope not.
No. She gone.
That'd be weird if she's still on your staff and she hears this.
Right.
She's gone. And they gave me shit for that.
They should, by the way, they should give you shit for that.
They did. And I was like, you know what? Duly noted.
I earned that. You earned it. Right. Right. I mean,
yeah, I was like,
when you were saying that, it kind of reminded me of Caesar Milan. Like he always like, you know, takes the new dog and puts him in the pack and the pack lets him know, like if this is a good dog or not. You know?
So, I'm going to tell them that tomorrow.
You should look up like a Caesar Milan episode on YouTube and see if one comes up.
Yeah. So we have someone coming in tomorrow to observe because I interviewed someone yesterday. So I'm going to tell them that I'm going to throw you to the wolves now.
Yeah, exactly.
See if the pack, how's the pack respond?
Yeah.
So what's your full staff look like? Like if you had a full salon, how many operators would you have?
I would like to have like anywhere from like 10 to 15.
Yeah. 10 to 15?
Yeah.
And 800 square feet?
Oh, not right now. My event, my next one that I'm going to do.
Got it.
I would like to have 1 to 2 more.
Nice.
And when you said your next one, will you look to expand or will you look for another location?
Whatever comes first, whatever opportunity is able to come first, like whether it's like logistically or financially, like I really want to find, I'm really looking at something else right now down the street, like a little bit more west. It's a new build and I've never done that before. I've only done one in an older build and renovated. I would love to do a new build because where I'm at right now is, you know, it is only 800 square feet and I've renovated it like 5 times to try to give us the most optimal space and function, but there's only so much I can do.
Right.
But you know, to bite off a full new build is very expensive and it is scary right now to do that.
Well, you're going to have to refresh and listen to the Peter Mahoney podcast again.
I'm going to get a transcript for that and give it to an attorney.
We should do that. We should create a transcript for that one. Transcript.
A record.
Yeah. You know,
well, no, because then you guys can charge.
We'll give it away.
Give it away,
y'all.
You know.
So I mean that, like, so you know, then there's like also next to my salon, there's a business going out, and you know, I'm not sure what she's gonna do. I had offered her, like, hey, listen, if nobody wants to buy your spot, let me know. I'd be happy to take it off your hands and, you know, go through the wall. I don't know if she took that as offense, but we'll see. But I would love to go bigger at some point, because I would like another bathroom.
Right.
It's the tiny things.
You know, I would like a place, not a total break room, but just somewhere where they can go and just chill for a minute, because you don't have that. It's right. Like a galley. Like, it is like a New York-esque type of place.
So you were saying multiple.
Yeah, I would love to do like multiple, maybe one or two that I have now. I don't know down the line, but I think that'd be like a lot to do multiple, but I would love a newer. Like I said, mine is really old. And when you're dealing with older buildings and like a lot of power in a salon, like we have, I mean, stuff does happen. And I mean, I've even spent money upgrading our electrical panel, which my landlord doesn't include or help me with. And that's also very, very expensive.
Right. So if people wanted to find you or needed to get in touch with you or whatever, how would they go about looking for you?
Oh, they can find me on IG at hairbydom22, or you guys can check out our salon, which is Aura Hair Co. on IG. And my whole team is on there, and we would love to get your follow and connect.
That's awesome. Dude, you've been such an inspiration. Thank you so much. We love your story so, so much. We love you so much. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for, hope you weren't too nervous. You didn't sound too nervous. I was the one nervous a little bit there, you know?
Yeah, she's a hair boss.
Sorry for the tornado.
Yeah, no worries. She definitely is a hair boss. Yeah. So Miss Dom, thank you very much for hanging out with us, and thank you for joining us on your day off.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, share it with friends, give us a rating, and drop a review. To listen to all the latest podcasts, please subscribe from your favorite podcast outlet. And to stay connected on and off the show, you can follow us at Hairdistry on Instagram and all other social media platforms. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Peace and love.